Amos Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. We continue and conclude our series that we've been doing through most of Perek Aleph on the three averos al shlosha pishe and then arba'a lo ashivenu. So they committed three sins. The nations that we've seen already: Aram, the Plishtim, Tsar, Edom, Ammon, and now Moab we're going to get to, and then, unfortunately, Yehuda as well. So it's interesting that it's, in a manner of speaking, it's two sets of three. Aram, the Plishtim, and Tsar are actually sea peoples who came from the Mediterranean and then came to the region. So they're late immigrants, comparatively. Edom, Ammon, and Moab are more ancient people who have been here forever. They're locals whose roots are right here. So there are some very interesting structural connections between the two of them. Also, the idea that there are parallels. For example, the Plishtim are paired with Moab, and both of them played a key role in the life of David HaMelech. And Aram, where they threshed the Gilad with their iron threshes, and Ammon, so this is 1 and 4, they also sliced open the pregnant women of Gilad. So both of them have these crimes against Gilad that they did. And the Plishtim are paired with Moab, as we said. So it's kind of interesting, the idea that there's a connection. That would also pair Tsar with Yehuda, which might be a reference to the fact that Hiram Melech Tsar and David and Shlomo Malchei Yehuda had such close relationships. So there's interesting structural connections here. Rabbi Etshalom really goes wild on this and takes his time. But now Moab has a kind of strange crime. Ko'amar Hashem al shlosha pishei Moab. Hashem says, for the three transgressions that Moab committed, I allowed them to get away with it. But on the fourth, I will not return them. I will not recant. I will not stop their punishment. And what is that fourth sin? Al sarfu atzmos melech Edom lasid. Because Moab burnt the bones of the king of Edom to lime, to powder. That he burned up the bones. Now, there's no incident, like a lot of these fourth sins, there's no direct reference somewhere in Tanakh to whatever this sin was. We know that Moab did something terrible when they were in the middle of a war in Malachim Beis. It talks about how the king of Moab took his firstborn up and burnt him for a burnt offering to Chemosh, and this kindled a great anger against Klal Yisrael. The kings of Yehuda, Yisrael, and Edom were allied against Moab at that time, and the crown prince of Moab had been taken captive. The crown prince of Edom, I'm sorry, had been taken captive by Moab. So is this a reference to that? It's kind of hard to see that exactly. So apparently, it's a separate incident that we simply don't know exactly what happened. That the king of Moab murdered the king of Edom, burned his bones, and then used the ashes to color the walls of his house. That's the explanation for Sid. He used it as a primer on the walls. And that's another war crime of brutality. V'shilach yesh b'Moab, says Pasuk Beis. And, as the formula has it, I'm going to send fire against Moab. The destruction is going to come. The achla armenos ha-kirios. It'll consume the palaces of the place called Kirios. Umes b'sha'on Moab. And Moab will die in the midst of all of the tumult, in the midst of the noise and craziness that is happening. B'sru'a v'kol shofar, with shouting and the sound of the shofar. So Moab is going to meet its collapse violently because, I guess, of the terrible violence that they did against the king of Edom, which is interesting because Edom is our hereditary enemy. Edom and Yisrael don't get along, so you would think we'd be very happy when one enemy nation massacres another enemy nation and we don't have to get in the middle. But Dr. Hirsch says, this points out, can we find anything more characteristic of the infinite, all-embracing, universal love, the noble humanity to which the Word of God wishes to educate us? So destruction of the corpse of the greatest enemy is not cause for the prophet's joy. But instead, he brands it as a most disgraceful act, a sign of the deepest depravity. So with all of the Charlie Kirk stuff happening as I record this, There has been a lot of talk about ethics of when one celebrates one's ideological opponent's death in a brutal, gruesome way. What does that mean for your society? What does that say about your society's values? In Yiddishkeit, we're supposed to be better than that, which is ironic because I have heard many from people saying some truly outrageous things, including one guy who interrupted that day before Shemona Esrei to tell us we should all say a tefillah that all the liberals and progressives should die and be destroyed, which I think goes counter to what Shemona Esrei is supposed to be all about. We have to remember this point that Dr. Hirsch makes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, expecting better from us. And what else is going to happen to Moav? Gimel v'hechrati shofet mikir ba. I'll cut off a judge from within it. Which is interesting. That the king, the princes, the judges, the leaders, they're going to be cut off. V'chol sareha erogimo. And all of its officers and princes. I will kill with him. I will slay with him, Amar Hashem, Hashem says. So Moav is really going to get it. And now, in a brief two Psukim Yehuda, remember that the audience for Amos is Yisrael. So for them to hear negative things about Yehuda might not have disturbed them that much, but this one should. Dalad ko Amar Hashem al shlosha pishei Yehuda. For the three transgressions of Yehuda, Bel arba lo ashivenu. And for the fourth, I am not going to forgive them. Al ma'asam es toras Hashem. They rejected the Torah, the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chukav lo shamaru. They did not keep his statutes. Vayas'um kizvehem. And their lies mislead them. Asher holchu, chazav is one of the most terrible things a Jew can do. Asher holchu avosam acharehem. Which their forefathers followed. So Radak says, these are three wicked kings of Yehuda, Menashe, Amon, Yehoachaz. And even Yehoyachin, who reigned for only 3 months, and Tzidkiyahu. And during the reigns of Menashe, Amon, and Yehoachaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, this is 2.5 centuries earlier than Amos is saying this. But little by little, there's retribution. Until Zman Tzidkiyahu, there's no grace left for us. So it's interesting that these three evils in Yehuda's case are identified. And rejecting the chukim, rejecting the toros, rejecting everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demanded for us. And finally, hey, v'shilachti esh b'Yehuda, I will send fire into Yehuda. Of course, that's what happens by the Churban. V'achla armanos Yerushalayim. And it will consume the palaces of Yerushalayim. But it's interesting that when it comes to the punishment of Yehuda, it's not a war crime. It's the betrayal of the relationship directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have that's so special. And, of course, we also, Baruch Hashem, are not going to get ending with exile and the death of the leaders. It doesn't end Ani Hashem the same way. But the next one is going to be Yisrael. And Yisrael is going to get it both barrels and it's going to last for the entire rest of the parak.